Now, two pigeons and Coach Prime bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
These humans get the biggest college football games on DirecTV,
and we don't even get a satellite dish.
Enough squawking.
It's Coach Prime.
Bring it in. Sure, they could get all that college football without a dish, but you still got your passion, your drive, your resolve, your...
incredible career as a football icon?
No, that's me.
Stream the biggest college football games. No satellite dish. Visit DirectTV.com.
American Giant makes great clothing. T-shirts, jeans, and more. Right here in the U.S. Creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now.
This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
The voice of the Razorbacks, Chuck Barrett, is with us for a couple of segments on a Tuesday morning here on Halftime, day two of SEC Media Days. Chuck, how you doing today? What's new?
Well, I'll tell you what's new is I put in my application to sing the national anthem at one of the World Series games. Because if that chick could get it last night, I'm in the hunt, man.
Have you ever performed the anthem in front of people before?
Well, no, absolutely not. But I could have done better than her.
I think you could have done better than her. I've done that a few times. And look, I'm not a recording artist or anything like that. But I will say that's the most nervous I've ever been before. I sang at an opening day at Razorback Baseball, a few Travelers games, a bunch of rookie league games too.
I did.
I know the words. I can hit the notes and everything. But I get nervous before I do a radio show. I couldn't even feel my legs walking out to home plate to try to sing that. That's not easy.
You know, you see it, and I do too. Matt, you've been on the floor and at the basketball games where they walk out. Sometimes you can literally feel the nerves, you know, across the floor. Other times they walk out and you just know they're going to nail it by the way they walk out there. So, it's a scary deal. Like, I know. I would, first off, never be asked, and I certainly wouldn't be asked back. But I don't think that girl will be either from last night. I'm so old, I didn't realize she was a recording artist. So I didn't realize that's what passed for a recording artist now.
But, nominated for 4 Grammys. That's
okay.
The thing that doesn't make any sense.
What does it take to win a Grammy? I don't know.
That's right. Maybe it was based on her guitar playing, not her singing.
Well, look, she's going to get made fun of. We're not the first, and I know that she probably didn't plan on it to go that way.
Yeah. So it's SEC Media Days, Chuck. I've not been to one of these before. You know, we got Ty Richardson, we got Tommy Kraft that are there, and even Ty has said, Texas isn't there today, but Oklahoma is there today. And last week, I remember you're not throwing out the welcome mat for Texas and Oklahoma, but those two guys have told me both is that it feels like it's a very large welcome mat this week.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I didn't have any doubt it would be. There's so much history in that city between Texas and Oklahoma. They've been driving to Dallas and yelling at one another, you know, as long as they've been playing football. So I'm sure there is, you know, a welcome mat for everybody else in the league. And, you know, hey, they, I've always said this, that I'd rather go to the Cotton Bowl than any bowl. They do roll out the red carpet in Dallas, and they know what they're doing, and that's why our people have enjoyed going down there so much over the years. So I'm sure they're having a good time.
How do you think what are your expectations for Oklahoma? Phil mentions they're there today. It seems like, Chuck, that everybody's talking about Texas. Texas is in the SEC, and it's almost like kind of Oklahoma's the afterthought. Oklahoma a chance to make a splash and get 10 wins and make the playoff 12 their first year, you think?
Well, I certainly wouldn't rule it out. I mean, they've had a lot of success over the years. I'm not going to sit here and say I don't think Oklahoma's going to have a good year. I don't know if Oklahoma is as well prepared in the trenches as they're going to need to be to, you know, end up in that spot. You know, and Texas is going to have to deal with this too. Texas may be a little bit better prepared in that regard, but they're going to have to deal with this too. You're not going to get to play a big game, a big conference ball game, and then have a couple of weeks where you can be a little bit less than par and still win the game. You're going to have to play well every time out, and attrition's going to take over up front. It just does. Matt, you know this. I mean, a guy may play, but if your left tackle's got a high ankle sprain that week, you're going to have a tough day. You know, you may win, but it's going to be a tough day. And I want to see Oklahoma and Texas go through the attrition of the SEC. That's what I wonder about with Oklahoma. And that's why I think, just to be blunt, that maybe their success, because Oklahoma's had a good record against SEC schools, and Texas hasn't been bad either. But most of the time it's been like a one-off. You know, that's, you play them in a bowl game, or you play them early in the season before the toll of a conference slate, you know, comes to bear on a team. So I think all those things are going to come into play. But in my heart of hearts, no, I don't think Oklahoma is going to be a playoff team. But neither do I think they're going to be in the bottom half of the SEC. I think they're going to win a lot of games.
You know, they're one of these teams where you know, the trend, I was going to look, I know they used to have Dylan Gabriel as their quarterback. He transfers
Oregon,
out.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, goes to Oregon. So they bring in Jackson Arnold. He had just backed him up for the season, and he goes out and he starts his first game in a loss against Arizona in their bowl game. So it's one of those instances where they're able to get a jump start on next year by last year's quarterback opting out, though I'm sure they would have liked to have Gabriel stay with them.
Well, you look at Oklahoma's schedule. And look at what they've got to do. You know, their conference opener's at home, but it's against Tennessee. Tennessee's good, and it's going to be a Josh Heupel homecoming. You know, they're going to play that Red River rivalry. They got to go to Auburn. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think they've got to go to Ole Miss somewhere along the way. Maybe you know, and then they got to play LSU at the end. Oklahoma's going to play a schedule like they've never played before.
One of the things, you look at like blue blood programs that have switched conferences and what has happened to them afterwards.
They've not been as good.
Everybody can point to Nebraska as really like a fearful story, because they haven't been anywhere close to what they were in the Big 12 or the Big 8. You know, looking at, oh, think of Miami. You know, Miami was dominant as an independent. They were still a dominant program in the Big East. They moved to the ACC. They really haven't been what they think they are in a long time. It's tough, and you know, we'll see what happens with all of these changes in conferences this year, talking big conferences, but that's one of the things to look at. I mean, it's, you know, Texas and Oklahoma, those are the blue bloods out of the league, they're leaving.
Yeah, you know, I don't have it right in front of me, but I saw something. It's been 6-8 weeks ago. I think we talked about it on the Morning Rush, maybe. The teams that have switched Power 5 conferences, particularly the ones who've moved up, so to speak, and I think going to, from the Big 12 to the SEC is a move up, nobody has improved their conference record. I think maybe with one exception, one or two exceptions, and it's not the powers. With one or two exceptions, everybody's conference record has gotten worse in the new league that they've gone into. Oklahoma, neither Oklahoma nor Texas are going to have the SEC winning percentage that they had in either, in Texas's case, the Southwest Conference and then the Big 12, or in Oklahoma's case, the Big 8, then the Big 12. Neither one of them are ever going to have a conference winning percentage like that again. That's going to be hard for them to accept going along. Doesn't mean they won't get in the playoff. Doesn't mean they won't win national championships. They may. But their conference winning percentage is never going to be the same. And it's going to be a much, much different road for them than I think they imagine. Texas has come in with a lot of swagger. If swagger won you national championships, though, Texas would win it every year. But they've not won it in a long time. So that's not what wins championships. It's maybe what wins media days. But that's not, I mean, with all due respect, that's not much of a prize.
877-377-6963. If you want to get on the horn, we'll take phone calls. We can read your texts after a very quick break. The voice of the Razorbacks, Chuck Barrett, still with halftime for another segment, and we'll be back right after this.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
This is halftime.
Now, two pigeons and Coach Prime bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
These humans get the biggest college football games on DirecTV,
and we don't even get a satellite dish.
Enough squawking.
It's Coach Prime.
Bring it in. Sure, they could get all that college football without a dish, but you still got your passion, your drive, your resolve, your
incredible career as a football icon?
No, that's me.
Stream the biggest college football games. No satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
Eastside Liquor has a large selection of summertime lake drinks. Stop by to pick up some Welch's Vodka Cranberry and Vodka Transfusion, Minute Maid Spiked Strawberry Daiquiri and Lime Margarita, Bikini Island Variety Pack, some Smirnoff Smash Vodka Soda. Try their Gin and Juice Citrus and the Variety Pack by Dre and Snoop. High Noon Vodka Seltzers, Sun Cruiser Iced Tea Vodka, Surfside Starter Pack, Topo Chico Hard Seltzer, and White Claw Hard Seltzer. Eastside Liquor at 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
Welcome back. It is hour number two, halftime, ESPN Arkansas and hitthatline.com. Phil Elson, Matt Jones, C-Movie is in the production, is in the studio as well. We will be assigning C-Movie a movie sometime by the end of this hour, maybe by the end of the show, because we got ideas about this. We will tie it into the national anthem at the Home Run Derby yesterday. And Matt, when's the last time you've been to the, I'm assuming you've been to the DFW Metroplex quite a bit. I've been there. I mean, I go there for the baseball last season. We were there for the football game as well. I love visiting DFW. You just got to make sure you're not like on the freeway too often about, oh, you know, between the hours of maybe, I don't know, 10 in the morning and 3 in the morning.
I like Dallas. I've been to the, you're talking about the airport there? Are you talking about the baseball stadium?
Any other part of it. Not, I've seen, I don't count, like, going to the airport necessarily as like being in the city.
I've seen a Rangers game. I've been to two Rangers games, one in the new park, one in the old park. Been to, got to see Steve Nash when he was a Dallas Maverick with Michael Finley. They were playing. It was back when the Bulls selected Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry, like 1-2 in their two first round picks. They didn't go 1-2, but both of them in the first round. But Michael Finley, he could go get it. That's for sure. So I've been there around Dallas. I love Dallas. Dallas is cool.
It's a lot of fun. Ty Richardson's at Radio Row right now in Dallas at SEC Media Days. But have you just kind of stuck around the hotel and everything? I mean, I know you drove over there, so it's not like you got to stick around the hotel. What have you been up to outside of, you know, watching everybody speak?
Well, ESPN put on this preview of this documentary on Saturday Night Lights, and it was kind of the origin of SEC football last night in the Dallas Theater, which was quite cool. Yes, the same Dallas Theater where they caught Lee Harvey Oswald, which Tommy wanted to make sure I understood the historical significance of that. But, yeah, just Eden doing a little drinking on the open bar tabs, and I do have a suggestion, though, Phil. You're talking about halftime homework. I brought up a former halftime homework assignment of mine this morning. Have you assigned Big C or C Movie Basic Instinct yet? I feel like he needs to, because you saw Sharon Stone recreated that scene, right?
I did. I saw that time. Yeah. Yeah.
You saw that, Matt?
Yeah, I did.
You mean current Sharon Stone recreated
the scene? Yeah, like 66-year-old Sharon Stone recreated the Basic Instinct scene.
So, C-Movie, do you know of the movie we speak of? Do you know of the scene that Ty refers to?
No, but I've heard you guys talk about it before.
Michael Douglas.
Ooh.
Mrs. Triplehorn.
Yeah, it's a fantastic movie. I introduced Ty to that. But it doesn't have anything to do with this. So I was able to tie last night's Home Run Derby anthem to one of the greatest anthems that has ever been performed, and assigning a movie from a movie that the singer in one of the greatest anthems ever performed was in. I mean, we got you here, Ty. We can talk a little football, yeah. I guess, but might as well bring this up in anyway. So, and it's too bad because I had the Dashboard Light song by Meatloaf queued up to play, but we got Ty. We're talking about it anyway. There's no Ty, you guys played Ingrid's national anthem on the Morning Rush. That's pollution of the airwaves. So I'm going to clear the airwaves here with potentially. Now, everybody points to the Whitney Houston national anthem. May I show you, or at least let you hear, Meatloaf, Three River Stadium, 1994 Major League All-Star Game.
Let's go.
Do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Oh, say, can you see?
Now, that's how you do it. That's how you do it. I was sitting there at that when he sang this song there. I was at that All-Star game in Pittsburgh in 94.
Those pipes, that's opera
that
stuff
electric.
Right there.
That's
yeah.
how you do it,
oh,
right? We don't need to pollute the airwaves with what people are referring to as potentially the worst anthem of all time. You need to put out the good ones. There you go. And that can lead to the halftime homework because of Bob and Fight Club and C. Brooks, C. Movie, C. Unit, whatever we call him, has
Fight
never
Club
seen
needs
Fight
to be
Club.
On the list.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's a good recommendation. Big C, you will love that movie. That is a Edward Norton, little Brad Pitt. That's a fantastic.
Pixies, Where Is My
Club,
Mind?
Los Angeles.
Little, at the end of that, yeah.
Uh huh. That's right. I mean, so that's how it's done. Now, keep in mind, this is when Meatloaf, I think, he only put out three or four albums. This one came around the time of. I think you might have whispered the lyrics just a moment ago, Matt. Do anything for love. Yes. I mean, that was about the time that came out, right? 94? Pretty sure of it.
A great Dr. Pepper commercial. Yes.
And that might have been the greatest baseball game I ever witnessed in person. 10 innings.
oh, let's see here. The American League had won something like 10 or 11 All-Star games in a row. They're leading by a run in the ninth inning. I'm sitting right behind third base, fifth or sixth row. Fred McGriff.
It's
a game-tying home run off Lee Smith down the right field line. Sends it into extra innings. And then keep in mind, the Pirates manager then is Jim Leland. He's coaching third base. And who was it at first base? It's Tony Gwynn gets on base. I forget how, against Jason Bure. Moises Alou hits a screamer off of the left center field fence. And Leland sends Gwynn around third base. Just beats the throw, getting his left foot into the five hole between Pudge Rodriguez's legs to send the place crazy. I think it was the greatest thing I've ever seen in person as far as like a game that didn't mean anything. But those people, that game meant something. And so did the anthem that day.
Oh, man. I can tell you, you've literally laid out every detail of that play. So that's stuck in your crawl all these years later, man. That's awesome.
And the way Lee Smith wore his hat, that's how I always tried to wear my baseball hat.
Oh, you mean Fred McGriff? It was like up, right?
Yeah, both of them. I liked Lee Smith, usually had the box hat on, kind of old school. Like, I dug it. St. Louis Cardinals, yeah.
Oh, he played for, and it was, I think he was with the Orioles.
He was with the Orioles then.
And McGriff would have been with the Braves, I'm pretty sure, by then. Started with Toronto, went over to the Braves, too. Yeah. Well, you might as well go to the All-Star game tonight now, Ty, since that's all I've brought up here in this segment.
Yeah, Tommy and I were kicking that around earlier. Listen, I'm going to be honest, Phil, if I was with you, like if we ever did one of these things together and you wanted to go, I'd go with you. It just, like, the Derby and the All-Star game doesn't do it. Like, I will watch the American League Championship Series and the National League and the World Series, of course, but I just, regular season and this, man, I don't even watch the NBA All-Star game anymore. I guess, and much less the Pro Bowl, which isn't even a Pro Bowl. These weekends just don't necessarily get me going like they used to 10 years ago.
My favorite thought, and I know we've brought this up before, you and I might have talked about it too, Ty, was that there used to be a football game with the college All-Stars against the Super Bowl champion that was, I think, a charity game that we played in Chicago. I think it was the first, might have been one of the first preseason games for the Super Bowl champion, if not the first preseason game.
Uh-huh.
But, man, we need to do that with, like, college basketball. That would kind of be fun.
I'm in.
I'm sure you would. Just that trying to find ways to make these All-Star games feel a little bit different than they do now.
Yeah, and I don't, like, I remember Tommy was talking about it yesterday, like, Bug Steele trying to get the guys to play harder and stuff, and I know there's money incentives and whatnot, but there's always now people were scared about being injured is more rampant than it's ever been before. It's just a tough ask, but you've got I would guess the television right deals are baked into all that, so you have to have it. Just curious to see if we ever come back around on those things being as big as they were back in the 90s and early 2000s in some cases.
So let's see. You've heard from Kirby Smart and Josh Heupel this morning. We've been talking a lot of Oklahoma because Brent Venables is speaking in about 40 minutes. And then Eli Drinkwitz, I guess we can just expect he'll take some kind of a pot shot at Arkansas because it's Eli Drinkwitz.
Oh, yeah. I bet he comes, I wouldn't say guns hot, but if he's going to come guns hot towards one team or one university, it's going to be Arkansas. And he's like single-handedly keeping this rivalry alive because, like, Arkansas is not winning these games. They've won, I guess, what, twice? Once in the Bielema era and then once in the Pittman era since Missouri joined the league, which is, again, it's not good. So you're trying to get back on the right side of things with Missouri, and you just have been unsuccessful. And they're going to be – I mean, they might be a 10-win team at that final game of the season. Maybe a 9-win team trying to get to 10 wins. So I think that game, unfortunately, is going to matter a lot more for the Tigers than it is the Razorbacks, but I hope I'm wrong on that.
Ty, what's something you've learned from any of these teams out here that you didn't know going before you got down to SEC Media Days?
I would say, like, Oklahoma enters the league, and like Phil just mentioned Venables. I think Oklahoma's going to have a capable defense that can actually keep them in ball games. I don't know if that offense with young Jackson Arnold is going to be able to walk into certain SEC stadiums and get them wins. But I think people will be surprised that we think of Oklahoma the last, I don't know, two decades, Matt, as a team that's only been offense. But I think Venables is trying to do it from the defensive side. So that would be probably the surprise, the taking away from most people thinking that, Matt.
Yeah, you got to have a defense. There's no question about that to win in the SEC. I know yesterday I was throwing around, you know, what would you ask some of these Arkansas guys? And a lot of people want to talk to Taylen Green. That's kind of who you want to talk to, Ty. What's something that you want to find out, or what's a question that you would have for Taylen Green?
I think the question is, hey, do you feel like you built enough of a rapport in not even a full offseason with a guy that you're coming with, Andrew Armstrong, and the rest of the pass catchers? Because for whatever reason, the offense was way out of sync last year under Dan Enos, and obviously he's known Bobby Petrino since high school. This is the first time he's actually played under him, but does he feel like he's built enough of a rapport with that offensive line and the wide receivers where they will be capable offensively? And he would probably just give a very generic answer, as most quarterbacks do, but I wonder if you could get anything like out of that, maybe who he's built the most rapport with, to give you an idea who could lead the team in receiving this year.
That's the first AI. You know, the first AI is Allen Iverson. The second AI is quarterbacks. They program you exactly. You're right, Ty. you don't give too much bulletin information if you're a QB.
Yeah, I mean, think about, I know you had to do this back in the day, and you were probably told things before, some of the questions you'd be asking stuff, and most coaches just want you to give coach speak, and that's probably what we'll get from Taylen Armstrong and Landon this week, because you can't really boast, unfortunately, because of how last season went, so just stick for the normal generic stuff, I guess.
I like your comparison of quarterbacks to artificial intelligence. That means we're going to have to start in the huddle now. Well, there's no huddle now. But you just have to, anytime you speak to Taylen Green, or heck, when I talk to you, Matt, I'm just going to have to start the sentence with chat. That's what the kids do now, because they're talking to ChatGPT. Thank you for introducing us back to the kids.
See, I don't even know.
It's like conversing with Ty every once in a while.
You say chat before you say start a sentence, yeah?
My daughter does this. She'll say chat, you know, ask me a question and start it with chat. It's what it helps to have teenagers, so you can kind of stay up to date on what's cool.
Tommy just motioned to me and said his kids do that too, so you're in the same camp, Phil.
Absolutely.
I learned something today. See, there you go.
That's called knowing what's cool without being cool. And we are all over that here on ESPN Arkansas on all three shows. Ty, appreciate you, man. We'll visit with you next week, okay?
All right, boys.
Tomorrow.
Sounds like a plan.
Thanks, Ty.
Have you met All Modern? All Modern brings you the best of modern furniture and decor. And from August 24th to September 3rd, they're celebrating Labor Day with up to 60% off. Update your space indoors and out with weather-ready sofas, elevated dining sets, and fresh decor, all on sale at All Modern. And then get them delivered for free in days. You heard that right. Days. That's modern made simple. Shop up to 60% off during All Modern's Labor Day sale, August 24th through September 3rd at allmodern.com.
Now, two pigeons and Coach Prime bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Look at these humans watching pro football on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
I've been watching them watch football for so long, I feel like I could coach like you, Coach Prime.
Coaching ain't as easy as finding your games on DirecTV. How you gonna beat a corner blitz on third and long?
I'd probably just fly over it.
Actually, that's pretty good.
Stream football without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com.
Hickey and Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in MENA and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hull Law Partners, specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation, or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
Welcome back on Halftime, hour number 3, 1 minute after 1 o'clock in the afternoon on ESPN Arkansas and hitthatline.com. Phil Elson with Matt Jones. I've got C Fight Club in studios and headed to Dallas right now at Radio Row, where Tommy Kraft is joining us here for this segment. Tommy, how you doing? And who's speaking right now? Is Brent Venables up there now?
Brent Venables started about 10 minutes ago, so his first time at SEC Media Days. Ty's in there taking detailed notes, I'm sure. And Eli Drinkwitz later on this afternoon. We've already heard from Josh Heupel and Kirby Smart to start the day, so I sat through both of those 30-minute or so sessions, and of course, one of those teams is on the schedule, and guys, I'm glad Georgia's not.
Yeah, but Georgia also, I mean, they're going to get a lot of the headlines here because of, you know, Kirby potentially the best coach in the sport right now, and really a lot of the things that are happening off the field and specifically in vehicles involving Georgia. Yeah. I saw Coach Smart was asked about you know, penalty, financial penalties or suspensions for players. Now, doesn't, I mean, you know, we just, Mike Gundy last week talked about not suspending Ollie Gordon, and he centered it around these guys are getting paid a lot of money to play. I think that was one of the reasons why. But in this case, Kirby's talking about the collective, or at least one of the collectives that's connected to UGA, is fining players that are part of these speeding issues and getting citations and really dangerous situations, but it's also something that he has no control over. It's just collective to player. That's interesting.
Yeah, I saw the comment. That was not made in the main room. That was in the electronic room. But to me, it takes some of the heat off the coach. I mean, these players are getting a lot of money, and Georgia's obviously had a reputation in the last couple of seasons for driving fast cars. You want to get them where it hurts, take money away. Coach doesn't have to be the bad guy now. Now the head of the your collective or NIL group can be that. And I think when you're going to get hand out this money at the levels they are through the NIL, they can put stipulations based on conduct. So I would imagine if Georgia's doing it, many others already are or will be soon.
Well, Georgia's still top dog in this league right now, right? I mean, Texas coming in after making a playoff visit last year. Georgia was not in the playoff last year after losing to Alabama, but they keep their coach, they keep their staff together. And I know we don't know what the preseason polls are looking like, and I'm assuming you guys got to get your votes in sometime in the next day or two, but Georgia's got to be looked at as top dog in this league right now, don't they?
Possibly in the country. I think definitely in this league, and I would be surprised maybe what Ohio State and Georgia may split a lot of the first place votes, but I don't know too many other teams that are going to garner anywhere but a fraction of what Georgia will garner other than maybe Ohio State. So, yeah, I mean, I think some view Georgia as taking over the post of Alabama. I think Alabama still wants to have something to say about that, but everybody presumes that Alabama's in a free fall without Saban. I don't know that that's accurate, at least not yet, but I think Georgia, based on, what, two of the last three, you know, they're about to enter dynasty conversation, perhaps with a win this year.
Tommy, we've been talking a little bit about OU today and Coach Venables. I know they gave him a contract extension as they're going into the SEC. What is your overall feeling on this Oklahoma team and Coach Venables? And it is going to be – Chuck made a good point. I think we all kind of you know, you're not going to play Texas Tech and TCU and then be able to gear up for Texas. You know, you got to play Ole Miss. You got to play Georgia. You got to play Tennessee. What is your feeling on OU and how they adjust to the SEC?
I just wonder if their young quarterback, Jackson Arnold, is ready for the speed of the defensive ends, you know, how quickly the defense will be on top of you. And I just also wonder if their offensive line is because they've got like three transfer guys that are going to be starters up front. Branson Hickman is going to be their center. He's a junior transfer. Both their left tackle and right guard are going to be transfers. Jake Taylor's the right tackle. He's the only one on that side back, and then Jacob Sexton. So I wonder if their offensive line is really tooled and ready. I think Oklahoma would be ready to be a top half, maybe top third defense, but I've got to wonder if they're ready offensively up front to handle what they will see. Oh, probably at least six, if not seven, out of their eight SEC games that will be equal or better than what you see in the Big 12.
Who is who's speaking this afternoon, Tommy?
You got Eli Drinkwitz.
Okay.
And
okay.
Brent Venables going right now talking about the Sooners. So I'll be interested to see how mouthy maybe Eli will be. Obviously, you know, has earned the right to talk a little bit. Their schedule set up with, I think they got, what, Alabama and Texas on their schedule. So two difficult games, one at home, one on the road. But they avoid a lot of other teams in this league. And I think Missouri's going to be a team that gets a lot of consideration, guys, for, you know, top two, three in this league. They won't surpass Georgia. They probably won't get the votes Texas will get. But if you told me that, hey, come December, Missouri's going to be a team that sneaks their way into Atlanta based on a tiebreaker system that's not even finalized yet, I wouldn't call you completely crazy.
I think Missouri's biggest thing that they had going for them last year, I like their quarterback play, but their running back, Schrader, I think he was second in the country running. Who is going to be their running back? And you just brought up Oklahoma's offensive line. How does that work with? I know it helps when you got a wide out, you got a receiver that's a stud. I think Courtney Crutchfield's going to play early for them as well. So it kind of opens up some running lanes. But I wonder, is it going to be by committee, or are they going to have a stud running back this year?
Yeah, and you know, just kind of looking at how they came out after after spring, they got that Marcus Carroll kid that transferred in. And then, in fact, they're about two deep there. Carroll, let's see, he played at Georgia State, so he's coming up quite a bit in class. And then you look at Nate Noel, or Noel, I'm not exactly sure how you say his last name, but he came from App State, which is something obviously Eli Drinkwitz is familiar with. So that's kind of who they depth charted at one and two out of the spring at running back, and neither one were in the program last year.
Now, we'll get back to some SEC, but while I got you on here, Tommy, I got to ask you about the Open Championship coming up.
Yeah.
In the Old Course, and I watched the Scottish Open. It seems like that's been gaining a little momentum the last handful of years, but I'd watched it last year and then watched it this year, and what Robert McIntyre did after last year with Rory birdie in 18. He birdied 18 with that. Saw Adam Scott. It was good to see him doing his thing a little bit this year, too. But what are your thoughts going in to the Old Course in the Open Championship? Who do you got?
At Royal Troon, yeah. It's I don't know who I've got yet. I think there's, you know, I kind of like, you know, some of these Americans do very well there. I'd look down in the top 10 like Harmon, some of those guys. I don't think it will be Rory. I think it wouldn't surprise me if Rory's in contention. But I think maybe it'll be maybe a newcomer to the circle this year. I was looking at that postage hole. I was watching some of the Golf Channel, that postage stamp hole where it's like 128 yards, but it's a extremely small green. So I think it's going to be fun. I love this event because it's on while we're on, and starts tomorrow morning. And, you know, I think it's going to be a great watch. Brian Harmon's going to be my pick right now.
I like it. I like it. Thingala, he's one. He's a new up-and-comer that's been doing well. I've been watching him play. But I tend to agree with you about Rory. He seems to be on that front page of the leaderboard a lot this year, but for some reason just can't close the deal.
He's had a lot of stuff going on personally last 2 years, trying to be the face for the PGA Tour. Clearly that has – I don't know if that was the cause of the marital strife, but you know that will distract any dude anywhere trying to be at their best. So maybe he's got all right in his world, some of that PGA and LIV stuff settled down, and seems to be settling down at home from what we know publicly. So maybe I kind of root for Rory. I was certainly rooting for him in the U.S. Open. I wanted him to win. So but I don't think it'll be Koepka or DeChambeau, but you know, who knows.
You, about an hour and 10 minutes, get to hear from Eli Drinkwitz.
Mm-hmm.
He has, I think he likes to try to be entertaining. I think he entertains his fans, the Missouri fans. I'm not sure if there's many Arkansas fans that are entertained by him, but
maybe himself.
He's one of those coaches who does like to get up there and speak. He doesn't seem shy about it at all, or just cracking a few jokes every once in a while that might not really be all that funny.
Yeah. The other thing I've noticed with the coaches so far this week, I guess it's a requirement to be up on the shoe game. Every one of these coaches wearing a really nice suit, and then you know they got a really nice pair of Nikes or some tennis shoes on. Heupel had a kind of a matching pair of tennis shoes. Kirby had the same thing earlier. I noticed the same thing yesterday. So I haven't been in there to see what Venables is sporting, but I think maybe to be in touch with your players and be relevant in the recruiting game, you got to be strong, Phil, in the shoe game, apparently, because I've seen a strong shoe game from everyone so far this week.
Same with Jaylen Brown, Phil. You got to be Adidas, Nike can leave you off the Olympic team, it seems like, which I don't think that's the true case, but there's a little bit of smoke about that.
Yeah. Shoe game's a big thing right now. It's like you see even before games at Bud Walton Arena, they will show you the shoes that every player is wearing for the men's and the women's and the coaches and everything. And, you know, it's the pregame fit. They all get photos for that, too. So it's all now about the pre-press conference fit, I guess, today.
Yeah. You know, Kirby spent some time, you know, he said he likes to study business and study businesses in the offseason. Nike was his target this year. And they went out and spent time with some of the leadership at Nike and Phil Knight. And one phrase he brought into today, he said he took away from there, was assume nothing. Assume nothing. And where he took that back to his football team is, hey, just because we were at this level last year, we're going to assume nothing about the players this year or the new players on our team or how they performed last year translate to this year. He said that has helped kind of reset everything. So, you know, I don't know how you permeate that completely, Matt, through an 85-man roster, but I kind of like the message of, hey, we're not going to assume anybody's doing anything. You're going to have to go out here on the field, do the work, get in the weight room, do the work, and prove it. And I kind of like the message he was given this morning about assume nothing.
No, that's I love that, Tommy. Coach David Lee, a quarterback coach of mine, had that same thing when we came in to quarterback meetings. It was, I'm going to assume you don't know anything, and we're going to start. I want you to draw me a 7-man box, A gaps covered. I want you to draw me cover through. We're starting back from the basics when you get in there, and then you take it from there. So I dig it totally.
Yeah. Another thing I made a note of when Josh Heupel was speaking, this was just kind of a off comment, just kind of a, you know, flippant remark he made, but he made the mention that they have, and keep in mind, they see, what, 105, 107,000, something like that at their home stadium, at Neyland Stadium. They have 15,000 people on the waiting list for season tickets.
Hmm. That's wild.
15,000. I mean, they raised $63 million last year for their NIL fund. So, I mean, we talk about levelized playing fields. We're nowhere near level or approaching level. Well, when you're talking about that, those kind of numbers.
I don't know if they'll ever be a level playing field, even if they're all playing from the same amount of, you know, salary that they'll be able to pay the players, because I think NIL will always be an aspect of this. And you mentioned Phil Knight a moment ago. Did you see last week he says he's so desperate for Oregon to win a championship while he's alive that he has unlimited NIL for Oregon. They don't even need an organization. Meanwhile, at Arkansas, they're switching executive directors. There's 782 members, according to the Democrat Gazette article, on a drive to 5,000. That means it'll take over 3 more years at this rate to get to 5,000.
With no attrition.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, so the arms race becomes evident, and we haven't heard from Texas or Texas A&M or, you know, we heard from Georgia. They're in the upper echelon, but even Georgia, I don't think financially, while they're well-heeled, they're not A&M. They're not Texas. I mean, where the pockets run, you know, into the hundreds of millions deep every year.
And I'll say something, and this might just be a small thing, but if you want more NIL money, let's keep our in-state guys in-state. Yeah, you know, that might be just a little bit of a thing that might help.
But what's the other common denominator there? They got winning football programs that are, you know, in conversations. And I think when you talk about Tennessee, that number of $63 million, why not as large as others? That surprised me. Plus, they have a winning men's basketball program, a historic women's basketball program, a national championship baseball program, and a football program that's won, what, 20 games in 2 years. You want to get serious money given to your NIL? That's how you do it.
Tommy, we'll leave it there. We'll revisit with you next week. Have a good rest of the day. Hope you enjoy it.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Tommy.
Have you met All Modern? All Modern brings you the best of modern furniture and decor. And from August 24th to September 3rd, they're celebrating Labor Day with up to 60% off. Update your space indoors and out with weather-ready sofas, elevated dining sets, and fresh decor. All on sale at All Modern. And then get them delivered for free in days. You heard that right. Days. That's modern made simple.
Shop up to 60% off during All Modern's Labor Day sale, August 24th through September 3rd at allmodern.com.
Now, two pigeons and Coach Prime bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Look at these humans watching pro football on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
I've been watching them watch football for so long, I feel like I could coach like you, Coach Prime.
Coaching ain't as easy as finding your games on DirecTV. How you gonna beat a corner blitz on third and long?
I'd probably just fly over it.
Actually, that's pretty good.
Stream football without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here.
Headed over to our hotline. Get a chance to talk for a little bit here with Bill King from Nashville Sports Radio, the king of college football talk and hosting 6 to 9 on WNSR. And always appreciate your time today, Bill. How are you?
Hey, guys. Doing well.
Good. SEC Media Days are going through here. I know you and I have talked about Media Days quite a bit, and you used to attend those. Might not mean necessarily the same, though, but this year's a little bit different because it's, you know, once you get to the Big Ten Media Days, you get the four new schools coming in, the ACC with their kickoff. Wonder if that league can stay together. And the SEC, it feels like rolling out the red carpet for Texas and Oklahoma this week.
Yeah, I did almost 30 of them, guys. And I have done a Media Days in Dallas, but it was the Big 12, and I was interviewing Bob Stoops, Charlie Weiss, Art Briles, names Tuberville, names like that. So I've been in Dallas, but not for that event, not the SEC, first one there. But, guys, I first did Media Day in 88, I believe. And my first year was Emmett Smith year. Mm. And I was the first radio station to ever set up at the SEC football. There was nobody else. It was one station. Now there's, I guess, a million of them. But, yeah, I've watched a little bit of it, guys. Frankly, I don't want to dampen the atmosphere, but I'm glad I'm not doing it anymore. I did enough.
Well, going on in the background of all these media days or potential machinations to essentially blow up the ACC, seems to be a lot of smoke coming from people that, you know, a year ago were reporting about movement out of the Pac-12, and they were proved to be right about that. And there is a lot of smoke right now about Florida State and Clemson maybe into the Big 12. Do you know anything about this? Are you buying what this, you know, smoke might be leading to?
No. No, the math makes no sense. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say never. But why would you leave a league, the ACC, that's got a contract through 2036? Now, there's ways that contract might implode, but technically, long-term contract, which pays $35 a year to each school, for a league that's maybe paying $40, and you're probably going to need a $200 million buyout. Makes no sense at all. That math does not equal the math education I've got. They want to join the Big Ten or the SEC. That's clear, and that right now is not available for them and probably isn't going to become available. The only way you would leave the ACC to join that league would be for safety, and it would be because the league you're in is going to implode, and you better get the heck out of there. I don't think that league's about to implode.
Hey, Bill, in the first month of the season, let's just talk about September, and I'm kind of looking at Tennessee-OU matchup. That's going to be OU's first game into the conference. Is there a bigger game in September? What are some of your early matchups you're looking forward to?
Well, I think that early on you got Notre Dame A&M, you have Miami versus Florida. You've got some really good early matchups. You've got an early matchup with LSU and Southern Cal. There's a bunch of them. But, yeah, that one's got a lot of storylines because Josh Heupel was a fantastic quarterback for them. Early 2000s on a wonderful team and later was the coordinator and got fired there. A lot of good side stories there. Tennessee's got Nico Yamaleava. I think as good a young prospect at quarterback as anybody's got in America. Oklahoma's got a former five-star young quarterback, too, that they're very high on. That one's going to be interesting, and the game is in Oklahoma. That'll be fun.
Man, there are some really interesting non-conference games in that first month, and then there's some others where it's like you would expect this team to walk over them, like Mizzou against Boston College, like Mississippi State against Arizona State. You know, I don't know much about Wake Forest right now, but Ole Miss traveling to Winston-Salem could be an interesting game. Bill, if you're looking at Arkansas, Oklahoma State, second week with as many players that Oklahoma State has coming back from 10 wins last year, and man, they really got going after the first month last season. That is, I mean, Arkansas's got a tough schedule, and man, there might not be a tougher game than going to Stillwater playing Oklahoma State.
Inside the toughest league in America, Arkansas, and then you have to go play that group. Very well coached, very well developed, no doubt about it. I would not want that on my schedule. No.
What about, do you think there's any chance of a slip up week two, that same week, Phil and Bill? You got Texas going to the Big House to take on the Blue of Michigan. Any way Texas lays an egg early in the season?
Have to be a really grind them down ball game where Texas playmakers are either not fundamentally sound that day, turnovers, and it's a Michigan grinder. Can't be pointsy either. Can't get up into points. That's the only recipe I see. Now, Michigan's going to be salty on defense. They're very good, and they've got some personnel back from that same team. One of the best corners, if it's not Benjamin Morrison, it's the corner at Michigan. They're still stout on the defensive front, but Texas athlete on athlete ought to win that game.
I didn't realize this, but I just looked up the Texas football schedules. Over the next 4 years, they play Michigan and or Ohio State each of the next 4 years. The home and home with Michigan, they'll get the return game in 27. They play Ohio State back-to-back seasons, 2025 and 2026. Hey, they just came off a home-and-home with Alabama. Now they're in the SEC. I mean, you got to give it to them for these schedules.
Yeah, and how many teams in America can say they put better personnel on the field than Texas in its current form? And the answer is probably not five. Ohio State would be one you would argue. You'd argue Georgia, you'd argue Alabama, but there aren't many.
Last year, it seemed like, you know, you had Junkins at Ole Miss, but Brock Bowers was kind of the consensus skill player that was the best athlete, best player. Who's your couple best players that are going to have the ball in their hand, whether they be a tight end or receiver in the SEC this year?
I think we talked about it a week or so ago, but Luther Burden would absolutely be one of them. He's a first-team All-American at Missouri. He's a first-round draft pick. He is a brutal green grass matchup. You're not going to match up with him in green grass. I'd say he is the one that probably stands out the most to me of all the ones. And there'll be others, but I don't think one immediately when you ask me that, my brain immediately goes to Luther Burden at Missouri.
That was a commit when they got him. That was, you know, Mizzou was still kind of in a mediocre place at that point. Getting Burden huge for them. And of course, he's been as good as advertised, so that has to be a part of it.
Well, and after his first year, there was a lot of talk about him getting out of there because of the NIL and the transfer portal. And I am 100% positive he got a lot of money thrown at him. But that's about the time they decided that we're a big player. And that's about the time the switch flipped, because their other receiver who was so good transferred to Georgia. Now, he's not Luther Burden, but he was a player that everybody wanted, and he has not played that well yet. But I think that is a key moment. Everybody wants to know what happened with Missouri. I mean, somewhere in there, in that swath of time, they decided, and course, new legislation inside the state. But about then is when it became real for them.
Last thing, we'd had a text in from a listener. JT wanted to ask, do you think that Arkansas needs to model the program after Oklahoma State? You know, it's get good players, 3-star, maybe 4-star sometimes, and develop them. I guess the difference would be, you know, you're talking about developing and playing them in the Big 12. SEC is a little bit different, but, you know, there's also just a sense of envy of a program that just finds ways to win a lot of games under Coach Gundy.
Well, and to the texter there, that's a good idea, but that's just on paper. You've got to be able to, number one, identify players who might not be Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, Alabama, but you develop them and project them in that direction. That is an incredibly difficult art form to master. Just because the guy at Oklahoma, the mullet at Oklahoma State does it, doesn't mean that photocopies for everybody. It's a good idea. It's very difficult to replicate.
Yeah, sounds good in theory. You're right. Bill, we'll leave it there. I appreciate you, man. Have a great rest of the week.
Hey, guys.
Thanks,
yep,
Bill.
Appreciate it, guys.
Bill King, Nashville Sports Radio. He is with us each Tuesday on Halftime.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com. This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
Now, two pigeons and Coach Prime bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
These humans get the biggest college football games on DirecTV,
and we don't even get a satellite dish.
Enough squawking.
It's Coach Prime.
Bring it in. Sure, they could get all that college football without a dish, but you still got your passion, your drive, your resolve, your
incredible career as a football icon?
No, that's me.
Stream the biggest college football games. No satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.